Welcome to Ray's Music Reviews, a part of the Go Home Heat production. Today we are joined with KP and...
Hello.
And your host, me.
That's Ray.
Today we are doing Run the Jewels 4. We are going to be doing a bit of a departure from our other stuff. With our other stuff, we usually do classic albums. Today, we are doing more modern reviews. This album came out last year, and I know it's really weird to say last year. because
2020.
Because it feels like 2 weeks, but also 2 years ago.
Long year. Been a long year, for sure. Or it was.
It was a long, but it was also a short year. Very strange.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels.
The fourth album from
Run
the Band.
Run the Jewels are a hip-hop duo.
Super group.
By, it's two people. Two people isn't a group. People in the group are Killer Mike. He did a little off thing, like when Outkast were big, and ELP, hip hop underground legend, and
Brooklyn rapper, producer, legend.
Okay. last year they gave us their most critically acclaimed album yet. Weirdly enough, their fans' favorite is the second inclusion, Run the Jewels 2.
Jared wanted me to make sure that we told the world. Jared is here on most of our musical podcast. Yeah. He wanted to be sure that the world knew he likes 2 better than 4. Although, like most of the world, they don't, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't have a critically not acclaimed record. People like what they've done.
Yeah, they don't. They haven't really come out with an album that's
stinker.
Even below, like, that, like, every, like, their albums are loved. They are a beloved hip-hop group. Certainly. At least one of the most beloved of the past decade. And they're, given their right, they're phenomenal. They're really political. The production is great. So let's get into the album.
Bangers, as they say. The kids say that, don't they?
You could
this thing slaps.
Say that. You could say that, but I think there's more... stuff underneath, especially with the lyrical content, because they are a very political group.
So it slaps,
I
wouldn't wrap it up.
I think there's more beyond the just how good it sounds.
It's not just fun.
No, it's not. It's more than that. And it came out in a very needed time. This came out like right after all the stuff was going down. You know the stuff.
The COVID stuff?
No, right after.
George Floyd.
Yeah, the okay. George Floyd situation, which really makes this album a lot more needed.
Well, they were addressing that content throughout.
Yeah, it's insane. Let's just get further into the album. What did we feel about the opener, which was Yankee and the Brave?
You know why it's Yankee and the Brave, don't you?
Because they're from Brooklyn.
One guy's from Brooklyn. The other guy's from Atlanta. The Atlanta Braves. The New York Yankees.
Yeah.
It can always be tied back to the games we play.
And right? I feel like this was a really good way to open the album.
It's fantastic. Right? It's, yes.
Yeah. I feel like it just gets you directly in the mood.
Oh, dude, yeah.
To listen to this. And I feel like...
It also lets you know that the listen is going to be fun, rhythmic... But important content.
Yes, and I would say, and going deeper into the album, I think the part where it gets a lot less just fun and a lot more politically charged, there's a distinct line in Walking in the Snow.
Yes.
Where
right.
Everything kind of gets a lot more tonally serious and darker, especially, and after that, just with Pharrell Williams and Zach De La Roca of Rage Against the Machine fame.
Frequent collab orator.
Frequent, I mean, he's been on their biggest song. It's crazy that they got both Pharrell and Zach on the same song. That's kind of star-studded.
Yes. Yeah, and it's always good to hear Zach back. The guy is a force of nature.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call him...
The sound of aggression.
Absolutely. I don't know if I'd call him a rapper straight up. He's more a screamer.
Right, right.
And especially the content on just with the... What's the line? Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Yes.
It's so imposing.
Absolutely. Having that as the hook. Yeah, absolutely. And then when he screams it out, it to heighten the fact that it's the hook makes it even better, right?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, this album, if you didn't know, fairly liberal.
Right. Well, and two, though, he... When he's screaming, look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar, that he's literally been screaming this since 1991. I mean, he has an entire career and a Hall of Fame band based around these concepts that he's addressing in his part of this portion of this track. So there's a legitimacy there in his emotion.
It also brings legitimacy to the album.
Of course. Of course, because he's the voice of it.
Yeah.
Of that
political fierceness. Yes. Even though...
His generations.
Even though Killer Mike and them have been having this political forcefulness for their entire career.
Yeah.
Actually,
when things went crazy in Atlanta, Killer Mike was one of the people they had come speak to tell people to cool out. And, you know, like, he doesn't just... do records. He's been an activist and tell people, hey, chill out, go home. We'll figure it out, the correct way to go about it, that kind of thing. He's a force and an important speaker, period.
And when we say this, we are not taking back ELP's production.
Mm-mm.
Because it is arguably top of his game production.
Absolutely.
Especially in the... one thing that always sticks out to me is the saxophone in the last song. Where it's almost like the landscapes,
the ground below,
that it is building with all of this, and the atmosphere it's creating is incredible.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
And so just how did we feel about the closer? We already talked about it was a few words for the firing squad, Radiation.
Right.
It's phenomenal. Yes?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
And one thing that lyrically stands out to me as well, as we brought up the fact that this was happened directly after the George Floyd murders, the tragic, and Killer Mike brings up the line, "I can't breathe," but that was for a completely different thing. But because...
A similar scenario.
A very similar scenario.
Right.
And it's... Again, we talked about on like the System of a Down episode, these issues don't stop.
No.
And they really should. And looking back on it, dear God, I America was in such... And it's still in a very, very tough time now.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
But I think just how scared we all were at that time, this album was so needed.
Yeah.
So desperately needed.
Yeah, things are scary right now too.
I feel like all of this stuff and all of the political lyrics and everything come together incredibly. What is our favorite tracks?
That's hard. That is hard because I like Walking in the Snow. I really like Just.
Just might be my pick. I love the last song. Walking in the Snow is great. Ooh La La. Out of Sight's great. Pretty much the whole first half. Like, maybe, like, my least favorite... Maybe... the only real criticism I have of this is that, like, the second half can tend to ebb a little bit. Right? It, like... In, like, The Ground Below and Pulling the Pin, like, it's not really as great as the rest of the album is. That's pretty much the only thing I have when it comes to criticism. This is probably my favorite Run the Jewels album. It's either this or...
No, you didn't like Pulling the Pin?
I just don't think it was as great as the rest of the album.
Right, okay, good. Because I kind of like it.
I like it, but it's not. It's just not as.
I hear you. I hear you. Now, Holy Kalama.
Yeah, just call it that.
Okay. You like that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I like all of them. I at least like all of them. Like, there's no bad song here. Like, but maybe, like, the second half may have, like, 1 minute of one song that ebbs.
Right.
It's difficult to... Right.
Now, collabs on here as well. We named off Zach, and we named off Pharrell. 2 Chainz has a collab on here.
2 Chainz.
He kills it. Greg Nice, DJ Premier, Josh Homme is on this
Queens
record.
Queens of the Stone Age.
Is on this record. And Mavis Staples.
Star-studded.
Mavis Staples from the Staples Singer. I'll Take You There. Just a tremendous performer. And for her to be on... When I saw her name listed instead of just picking up, say, random backup singer to get just a legend to come in like that. Well, you multiple, right? At this point, Josh Homme's a legend, isn't he?
Zach?
As a producer and as Queens of Stone Age and... I mean, I think maybe I'm throwing legend around too much. Them Crooked Vultures. I mean, he's pretty incredible.
You could certainly argue that, especially with Queens of the Stone Age being as acclaimed as they are.
In fact, that he produces all the cool rock albums that come out, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's something, boy. Okay.
Zach De La Roca is a legend. Pharrell Williams is...
He's right there, right?
Yeah, all of this is...
DJ Premier was legendary.
All of this absolutely. Is... just incredible. And
you like walking in the snow?
I really like walking in the snow.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, those crunchy guitars are...
Pulling the Pin is the Josh Homme Mavis Staples one. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, shout out to Ooh La La, which is also, I believe that was the first single on this record. That's the one with Greg Nice and DJ Premier on it. And they have a
piano key. They
actually have a cannabis strain that is named Ooh La La.
Huh.
I believe that they have sponsored themselves, getting into the old economics of the thing. Ooh La La also has, as of this week, a Mexican Institute of Sound remix.
It is something.
Yeah, we were doing it. You didn't like my remixes, though. I threw some Macarena in there. I did a little Macarena.
You didn't even throw... It wasn't even a Macarena.
You don't think that was a Macarena
no,
I was doing?
It wasn't even a Macarena.
Dude, you judge my dancing fairly harshly. That's not really fair, but we'll move on. We'll move on. We'll take it into another direction. Did you want to say something about Ooh La La?
Yes. Those piano keys are instantly recognizable, even though it's only been around for, like... barely a year.
Yeah.
Like 2 months away, which is both insane and perfectly reasonable. We are not going to rate this out of 10.
Oh, the download to this is available for free, by the way, along as is all of their music.
Well, yeah, it's Spotify.
But they said you can download it too for free.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We are not rating this out of 10.
Why would that be, Ray?
That would be mainly because, I feel like we would naturally be rating classics and newer albums inherently differently. So if we say, oh, this is an 8, and we give something else an 8, and we don't like this as much as this, the rating system will be weirded out.
Skewed.
Skewed. And B, because... I feel like albums need time to marinate before you can truly judge it. And I don't feel... In a year... Like, we can't...
Because this is a knee-jerk reaction, because it's a fairly young record, you don't feel like it's fair to rate it against Pet Sounds.
No, it's absolutely not. Like, you can't say, oh, wow, this is great. You can't... You can say this is a really good album. This is really good. I feel like this is going to be great. But I think rating this out of 10 would be at least fairly early on a bit much.
Right. So, but we will say that we both love this record.
This is my favorite album of 2020.
You ranked it that last week.
Yeah.
I think I had it a 4 or 5 or 5 or 6 or something like that.
I think this is the best album of 2020 just because of its content.
Right. If I was younger, I probably would have rated it higher. But I'm an old person. What do you call me? Ancient?
I don't call you ancient.
You do.
I've never called you ancient.
Under your breath as you walk away?
No.
Sometimes? Okay. No. Let's get on to something else. What'd you listen to this week, brother?
This week I mainly listened to this. I didn't listen to all that much this week. I mean, I did listen to Money Star, which is a great. In the car, actually, we did listen to A, Stone Temple Pilots, and B, Sunny Day Real Estate.
Let's get into Sunny Day Real Estate just quickly. Now, we went to Revolver Records on 12th. We spoke with Elvis a little bit. We're hoping to go do some stuff on the YouTube channel where we actually record in his record store, hopefully next Friday. Don't hold us to that, but hopefully. And then hopefully we'll put it up on the YouTube channel soon thereafter.
Yeah.
If we do those on-premise things, those will be exclusively on the YouTube channel. But we got to talking to him, and he did tell us something interesting about the record.
Yes.
And the band.
Apparently, Sunny Day Real Estate broke up because of Foo Fighters?
Yes.
Which, the story apparently goes, Dave Grohl walked up to the guys in Sunny Day Real Estate because he heard their rhythm section and thought, oh, that's great. And he said, I'm Dave Grohl. I used to be a drummer from this little band called Nirvana. You probably heard from me.
Yeah.
And the guys in Sunny Day Real Estate said, yeah, I'm sleeping on the floor.
Right.
And eating top ramen.
Well, and two, they supposedly he had already, before he even had the band fully filled out, he already had an $18 million deal with the record company, which, of course, would have allowed him to pay these guys money they'd never seen before, and they become his rhythm section, and the Foo Fighters winds up being really the most popular rock band of the last however long. But you were telling me, I asked you the question as we were riding around listening to the record yesterday in the car, how important is this band, and is the band more important because it evolves into the Foo Fighters, or is it more important because it's pretty much the genesis of emo?
I think it's more important because it's pretty much the genesis of emo. And not only do I not even know if the Foo Fighters stuff is completely true or not, but because it is weird because Sunny Day Real Estate were actually breaking up like two-thirds into their sophomore album.
So they weren't getting along anyway.
After that album, it was pretty much curtain call over. But I think mainly their first album, specifically Diary, is very important just because of its significance on emo music and just how emo music came to dominate rock in the 2000s, right? And that's like...
That'd be My Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance... Fall Out Boy, which is really weird that all that is encompassed in one genre. It's, again, I keep bringing this up, but the fact that Modest Mouse and Fall Out Boy are in the same genre is
crazy,
mind bending.
Right.
I don't know. Emo is a weird genre because emo is just like shortened version of emotional. So technically, any emotional music goes into it, but it is a specific sound. Gerard Way said that something like My Chemical Romance isn't I don't think My Chemical Romance is evil. Gerard Way being the lead singer of MCR, but I think it's just really weird because it's just a weird genre, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very strange term for a genre.
So what all did you score this week at the record store?
Neutral Milk Hotel. Classic. Probably the most, this al- the album that has benefited the most from the online influence. It is phenomenal. Sunny Day Real Estate, Diary, Queen's Night at the Opera. which, again, all of those are, like, classics in their own right.
Right, right.
What I listened to this week was just, and how'd you feel about Diary?
I liked it. We were getting along good there, listening to it on the way home.
Yeah.
I liked the discussion about his voice, too, and how it's not whiny and it's not overly aggressive. It fits that middle line really perfectly, more so than a lot of, say, emo. So, yeah, you know what I mean?
It's weird. It's weird because, like, I'm weird with nasally voices in emo because I don't like AFI, which is weird because a lot of people love AFI to death.
And that's fine if they do, right?
Yeah, but I just can't stand their lead vocalist.
Right, and like we've said about many bands, if you can't dig the vocalist, it's hard to deal with the music.
And like my thing with a lot of them is that when you do overly nasal it, it feels like more like you're making fun of me for listening to it. And it's just like,
right.
Why would I?
Well, with vocals too, like for example, we talk about, you know, with Rush, right? You mentioned the band Rush, people run to their corners. There's the people that like the vocals, there's the people that don't. And the people that don't like Rush.
Or
Axl.
Or
Smashing Pumpkins.
Or what's interesting is
Metallica.
Specifically, like, when people say, oh, I don't like Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. It's like, you probably don't dislike his voice. You probably just really dislike the personality that is coming out of his voice.
Okay, no. Fair enough. I think, what did I score? I scored a Johnny Lee Hooker live album while I was in there, which was dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I also scored a Clash live album.
Yes, that is right. The only band that matters, the Clash.
Surprisingly, the production is not great. But well, you don't buy that. You don't buy an album like that for a great production.
It's pre main label debut, right?
It's pre London Calling. This is like when they were a punk band,
right?
You know, and it's just a moment in history,
right?
I think that's it, right?
Yeah. I listened to. I got a this. Friend of mine named Yoletta sent me a link to a podcast called 1619 by the New York Times, in the specifically episode 3, and it was fascinating to me. It was about the birth of American music, and the content of that podcast sent me into Sam Cooke territory, which then sent me into Otis Redding territory, which sent me into Bob Dylan territory, and Mavis Staples. Mavis Staples sent me into Graffiti Bridge because, of course, she was in the movie and was on the album Prince Made, along with the Staples singers and all that. Then I wound up listening to Rod Stewart and Journey, because all of these things mold together because they all stem from people who liked what Sam Cooke once sounded like, except for Dylan and Staples, who Staples is a contemporary. Fascinating week for me, because on the opposite end of that was riding around listening to what you handed over to me as well. So I had a great week of listening to music.
Like, what exactly did I hand over to you that you listened to? The Sunny Day Real Estate?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. When we were listening to that on the ride home. And, of course, my assignment for the week.
Yeah.
RTJ4.
I think that's a wrap.
I think it is a wrap. You want to sign us out?
This has been Ray's Musical Reviews, a Go Home Heat production, copyright 2021. Go home.
Thank you
for listening.
Gin Project. Click around. Find you something you want to buy. They've been helping us out.
Yeah.